Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this week, Angelina Diana. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you'll be able to be very interactive during this hour. If you have the ability to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. In just a little bit, author and Dr. Matthew McKay will be joining us on his book called Seeking Jordan, How I Learned the Truth About Death and the Invisible Universe. It's a very intriguing, inspiring book. Just think if you had an insight as to what happens to our soul and why is it that we do make this transition and what is the afterlife like. It's a perfect, wonderful guest to be able to answer that for you from his point of view. It's a very intriguing book. I encourage you all to go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and click the link to see how you can purchase it yourself through amazon.com. But again, that number is 888-627-6008, and the doctor will be joining us in just a little bit. We want to do a little housekeeping right now and talk about what the Forever Family Foundation is all about, in case you're a new listener, and also the events coming up too as well. If you'd like to follow along on the internet at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, you may. But there's so much happening now these days between the internet and how easy it is to interact. We have some wonderful opportunities for you to connect, monthly online meetings from the Visionary Explorers Group, to different opportunities to connect. If you want to see someone face-to-face, I know in Miami, Florida, there's an afterlife discussion group that's formed on June 11th. They'll be meeting. Details on that is on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. We also have some webinars coming up, too. They're through August and September. I know that's coming up in quite a few months from now, but you might want to check it out. It's very interesting, from talking to mediums to different authors and people that really want to bring the science and the idea of the afterlife together. There's a wonderful one, I think I remember, on June 22nd, featured facilitator. I just lost my pen. That's the retreat I'm speaking about. Hello. I just got back to Earth here. July 22nd through July 24th. It is the annual Grief Transformation Retreat. And this year's theme is Love Knows No Death. Featured facilitator is Dr. Mo Teresa Hanna. And there's a lot of interesting speakers and a union of folks that meet every year, and if you want to be part of the new crowd, come on by, because it's really a great weekend for like-minded folks to talk about the journey and the transition that we make. And if you've had a difficult loss, it's really wonderful to see the idea of coming there, curious, wondering, feeling a little isolated by your grief. And at the end of the retreat, the weekend, you feel less isolated. Grief is something that you can't completely heal, but you can go on a healing path to understanding it. And certainly the Grief Transformation Retreat is certainly a place to be if that's where you are in your life right now. So I really encourage you to go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org if you'd like some information on that. There's so much to offer at the foundation. Being a not-for-profit, we are an all-volunteer organization, and we really appreciate the support that we get from you, our members. And what's that? Members? How to become a member? Really simple. It's free. All you need to do, again, is go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and sign up. And with that, you get first news about all our great events that we have. You also get the Signs of Life magazine. That's right. It's a magazine now. When I first started with the organization 10 years ago, it was a newsletter. And now it's this beautiful, glossy magazine, chock full of information for the curious, for those that are grieving, for those that are interested in the science. There's so much to offer, and I highly encourage you to become a member because it's free and you get so much with it. So please, again, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And the last thing I want to talk about is that being a not-for-profit, any way that you can help us out, we really appreciate it. Whether it's that you do go to one of our events, we have fundraising events throughout the whole year. Again, too long list. I can't mention them all now, but if you go to the foundation's website, you'll see them all there. Other ways to help us out, if you click on any link of a book through the website, I know that the Forever Family Foundation is partners with Amazon.com, and when you make your purchase, they get a little percentage too as well. And if you're not familiar with iGive.com, it's really a wonderful thing. A lot of people do their online shopping. It's really a great way to get what you need these days. It comes right to your door without having to go to a store. Well, if you click on the iGive icon, which is in the left-hand side of the beautiful website that the foundation has, and then do your regular shopping, you'll see links to all the stores that you normally do your shopping with. And it doesn't cost anything extra, but iGive give something back to the foundation every time you make a purchase. And there's so many other different ways that you can contribute. So even just giving a donation, if you can. And things like your help brings to you things like this website, brings the radio show to you, brings interesting speakers when we have events. So we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for helping us out to bring this great cause and this great journey that we're all going on together in one place. So thank you so much for being a part of the foundation and listening to the radio show. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, author and Dr. Matthew McKay will be with us. So we look forward to having you in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. You can find out all the information about the foundation on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. My name is Angelina Diana. I'll be your host for the remaining part of today's program. You can give us a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And our speaker for this hour is author Matthew McKay. He's a psychologist, a believer in science, a skeptic who has been given the knowledge far beyond anything he'd hoped for or imagined. He's going to share all of this information from his new book, Seeking Jordan, How I Learned the Truth About Death and the Invisible Universe. Welcome to the program, Dr. McKay.
I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
We are so excited to have you, and might I say this book has a very intriguing path, a very heartwarming path, and a very inspiring path, and I'm so excited that you can be here to share your insights on the book and share it with our audience.
Glad to.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, of course, this book was born out of a tragedy. You lost your son, and it was imagine, I don't know what it feels like to lose a child. I feel it's the worst loss that anybody can have. But what inspired you to go to a book through your loss?
Well, it's at the very beginning when Jordan first died. I think I wanted to know what anyone wants to know who's lost somebody they love a lot. Does that soul still exist? Mm-hmm. And is that soul happy in a good place? And I mean, that was just burning need to know that. And so it really pushed us out on the journey of looking for Jordan, trying to find a way to make contact with him. And at the very beginning, to answer those questions, and then later to actually begin to have conversations with him and have a chance to learn a lot about what he knows on the other side. So that was the beginning, and as I had the opportunity to talk to Jordan and through channel writing, begin to learn a lot about what he knows, it it occurred to us that maybe there was a chance to bring what he knows and what he was telling me to an audience that it might be helpful or healing for people. Mm-hmm. And so he agreed to do the book, and in a, I think it was 5 minutes or less, he outlined the entire book, all the chapters and all the details of what was going to be in the chapter. And then we set about over the succeeding months to write every one of those chapters, and a lot of the book, the last half of it, in fact, is mostly dictated by him, and I'm just simply taking dictation as he tells me what answers questions.
Hmm. So you had mentioned just a few ways that you sought to make communication with your son. Can we go over those again for our audience? Because I'm certain they're all listening, saying, I've had a loss. If he can get this kind of information, what were the different ways did you use to contact your son?
Yeah, well, I mean, we did lots of different things. I mean, we did something called induced after-death communication. I'll explain that. Certainly channeled writing. Looked into past life and life between life regressions, hypnosis, mm-hmm. mediums, shamans. I mean, we really looked for him in lots of different ways. But the first thing we did is we went to Chicago and met with a psychologist named Alan Botkin, and he had stumbled upon a technique he calls induced after-death communication mm-hmm. that really very reliably allows people to connect to and talk to loved ones on the other side. And he discovered it entirely by accident. He was a psychologist at the VA, worked with a lot of traumatized vets, and he's working with a guy using a technique that I use with my own patients called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a technique that helps people who have trauma. And he's working with this traumatized vet who actually had a great loss when he was in Vietnam. A young girl that he befriended died, and died in his arms, and he had just never gotten over it. The grief was enormous. He was planning to adopt her and bring her back to the States. Well, anyway, Botkin does this process with him, makes a little mistake in the protocol for EMDR, just a small variation, and this vet suddenly has a full-blown communication from Lee, the young girl who had died. Mm-hmm. And Botkin didn't know what to make of it, but the vet was just healed on the spot. I mean, this amazing sense of having closure and a sense that Lee was in a good place and happy and still loved him. So Botkin went out and replicated this. He did it with 87 of his patients at the 83 of his patients at the VA. He didn't tell them anything about what to expect. He was just treating their trauma. But all of these people also had traumatic losses. He did this variation, and 81 of them had a direct communication with a loved one. They had no idea that this was going to happen, and it, in fact, occurred in 95% of the cases. And so it was very meaningful to me, and I'm a psychologist. I used the same technique. I understood what he was doing, and my wife and I went and sought the experience with him. I did have the experience. He did the induced after-death communication process with me, and I had the experience, to my amazement, of hearing Jordan's voice. I heard it as clearly as if he was speaking to me in the room, the timbre, the quality of his voice, and he had very specific messages for me, for his mom. And so I had this moment of lightness, of relief, of knowing and having heard with my own ears, it would seem, him telling me that he was happy, that he was still watching over us, he loved us, and that we were still connected. Our love for each other still held us in a bond. So that was the very first step and the very first moment that I began to feel like there was a chance that I could know him still. I could express love to him still. But mm-hmm. but it was passive. I could only hear his voice. I couldn't really have a conversation. And that pushed me further into the journey.
Okay. And you mentioned channeled writing earlier. Can you share with our listening audience what that is and how it helped you feel more connected to your son?
channel writing, or sometimes it's called automatic writing. This is something that goes back thousands of years, and it appears in ancient manuscripts. And William Butler Yeats used channel writing to write one of his books. It is extraordinarily simple, and I learned it from a psychologist, Ralph Metzner, who also is a specialist in after-death communication. He probably taught me how to do it in less than 5 minutes. And here's what it involves. You need to get into an environment that you could, where you will consistently be when you do the automatic writing. It has to be a place that you feel safe, you feel grounded, you feel centered. And in that, I have a desk that my parents gave me when I was 11. So I use that because it makes me feel connected to them and connected to, just a long history of my life. The next thing you need is a focusing agent, and candles work very well. I have a candle that's behind a blue glass mask that my daughter gave me that she got in Mexico that I use to focus my attention. The next thing you need is an object that connects you to the dead. It has to be something that either belonged to that loved one on the other side or something that they gave to you. But it is a physical object that connects you to the dead. And with Jordan, I have a little business card that he printed up when he was in high school, and it says Jordan McKay, CEO, Omega Technologies. And there was no Omega Technologies. It was a scam that he used to get into tech shows. But it reminds me of his audacity and his humor. And so that is the physical connection that I use to for the process. Then you need to create a receptive state. And there are different ways people do this. Some people do it through prayer. Some people use auto-hypnosis. They will put themselves into a trance state. Other people use meditation. I use a Vipassana-type meditation, focusing on the breath, counting the breath. When thoughts come up, noticing the thought, but continuing to return your attention to the breath. And I will do that until I feel like I've arrived at a receptive state. I am ready to listen to Jordan. What I encourage people to do is just simply hold a sense of that beloved soul. It's their essence, not necessarily visualizing or picturing them, but a sense of the essence of that soul, the thing, what it is that you love. And to feel the love, and to feel that awareness of who they are and what they mean to you. And as you do that, the channel begins to open. And, of course, the last thing about automatic writing is it involves writing. So you have to get a notebook or some kind of piece of paper. And when you get into that receptive state, you're ready to communicate. You write down your question and hold that awareness of that soul that you love. At a certain point, just wait, and a word will show up, a word or a couple of words, and write that down. And then usually, for me, then it'll start flowing into a sentence. It'll finish as a sentence, and then the whole thing begins. And I keep writing sentences until the answer is complete. And oftentimes, the answer comes faster than I can write, or it comes even in an awareness or a knowledge that doesn't actually have words, and I have to find the words for it. For what it is, it's kind of a download. But when the answer is finished, you can simply write the next question, and in that way, you can actually have a dialogue with your loved one. And what's so beautiful about automatic writing, and why I'm so hopeful that more people will use it and stay connected to loved ones, is because you can actually not only find out is this soul I love okay, and are we still connected, which in itself is very beautiful and such a great relief. But you can ask questions. That soul is an expert now. I mean, that soul has knowledge you have no way of accessing. That soul is in the afterlife. That soul is aware of hundreds of previous lives lived, as well as lives lived with you. And so the amount of knowledge that soul has access to is staggering. And so you can do far more than just find out if they're okay. You can begin to ask questions about the nature of life, and also about why you incarnated in this life. What was it? What did you come here for? What were the what was the lesson plan? What were the karmic lessons that you showed up in this life to learn? And that the two of you, that you and that beloved soul on the other side, had come here to learn together. And you can get information about your life purpose, which is extraordinarily important and valuable. So these are all things that channel writing can offer, and I have found that that's made a very big difference in my experience in my life.
Mm. Now, Jordan must have told you more about the whole system of reincarnation and transitional periods, and when do we decide to come down here, life review. Can you go through that a little bit with our audience, of what he taught you about that?
Well, what Jordan tells me is that we arrive at a landing place that is designed especially for us, in the sense that it's just energy. It's not matter, but it's energy. And it is a place that we uniquely will feel peaceful, safe. Often it has elements of the familiar. Sometimes they're gardens, sometimes they're ocean scenes, sometimes mountain meadows. But whatever it is, it's a place where that soul feels safe and peaceful. Initially, we're met either directly by guides, or the guides are kind of hovering in the background, and beloved souls that we've missed and who are on the other side will come to greet us. And in that time, we kind of gradually get used to not having a nervous system, not having a sensory apparatus. We have legs, or appear to have legs, but we don't necessarily need to use them. There's no gravity. There's no need to actually walk. We move simply by willing it. We get used to having a 360 awareness. We see all around us. We don't just see straight ahead with our eyes. We actually have awareness in an entire circumference around our soul being. So all of this we have to kind of get used to, and we're slowly led to understand that this is energy that we're seeing. It's not matter, but all these souls are here to greet us and make us safe. From there, if souls have been very damaged in their lives, they've struggled a lot, they go to a kind of a healing place, and that is a whole separate process where masters really address the energy damage and help the soul recover. For most souls who have not been terribly hurt by a past life or most recent life, they go to the place where they do life review. And, you know, for me, when I've done hypnosis work and been projected to my death in this life or to my death in a previous life, and have entered life review, and what Jordan also confirms and tells me is that life review is actually pretty arduous. You know, depending on what kind of life you've lived, your life review may involve having to look at some very hard to look at and observe and know experiences. And what we do is we actually go through every single choice we've made in our lives, every single thing that we've done. And not only do we experience it from our own perspective, but we experience it from everybody else's experience who actually was affected by that choice. Everything they felt and experienced in response to our choice, we have to also know and feel that just as they felt it. And not only at that moment, but how that choice impacted them into the future. So it's a very deep process. It's very meaningful. Souls spend time doing this. They're learning a tremendous amount. What they're really doing is reviewing the Akashic record of their lives and entering it in a very deep way, fully immersed in the experience that they had and everyone around them had.
Now, during that process, are we condemned or convicted to do better? I mean, what's the feeling, you know? I mean, is there an opportunity, a breath to feel like, okay, I know what I've done wrong, but I'm convicted to make it better? Or is, I mean, the way it sounded, it felt very condemning. So,
I'm glad you asked that, because that is not what Jordan tells me. What he tells me is that souls are very serious about this process because tremendous amount of learning takes place. But there is no judgment. There's zero judgment. And that we, you know, and we are, there's no such thing as sin. We're not evaluated or judged as having done wrong or been bad people, bad souls. In fact, all we do is look at outcomes. We look at, well, when I did X, what happened? What how did that impact me and those I love around me? And it is hard sometimes to see the things that we do and how deeply they affect others, but that's part of the work of learning in the afterlife. Those kinds of that information isn't available to us here. We can't really know how what we do affects others. We just can't live in their shoes, but we can in the afterlife do that. There's no judgment, no condemning. It's learning. It's all about learning. And you know, one of the things he said to me is that, you know, the life review, part of it is really about looking at our failures, not again from a judgmental point of view or a condemnation, but to see the things we did that didn't work and to really face and understand how choices we made impacted others and the long-term consequences of our behavior. And the purpose of it is so that we can learn to make wiser, better choices and carry that knowledge with us into our next life. So it's actually a very supportive experience. The guides that are helping us during the life review process, are their message to us is, this is a life you tried hard, you faced a lot of difficult things. Let's learn as much as we can from this experience.
What does Jordan say about all of this uncomfortable, bumpy ride that we have to take here while we're in our physical bodies?
Well, that is something that really surprised me, because he said that the reason souls incarnate is because of that in a physical world there is pain, that actually the pain in the physical world is how we learn. We learn with emotional pain, physical pain, relational pain, all of the kinds of things, the hard things that happen to us here are all necessary parts of the process of learning. And so the pain isn't bad, it isn't wrong, and sometimes we think, well, oh boy, somebody's in a lot of pain, they've failed, they've screwed up their lives. Actually, the pain is just the process in which they are learning and the process we are learning. So we come here for that. There's no pain in the afterlife. The opportunities to learn in the afterlife are very different. There's a different kind of learning there. And so it's not possible, for example, to learn the essential thing that we have to learn here, which is how to love in the face of pain. That's you know, a global way, that's what we're coming here to do, to love in the face of pain. In the afterlife, love is easy. It's a perfect telepathy. We have absolute connection and understanding of each other, and the afterlife, in fact, the energy that connects all of consciousness is love. So love is effortless in some ways, and we come here to learn how to love against all of these obstacles and through all of these barriers that show up in our lives, and it's a very sacred journey that we take to learn these lessons. And Jordan has told me that we come here as individual souls to learn these lessons over, you know, hundreds of lives. And everything we learn in this physical universe, we bring back into the afterlife, and it's uploaded so that all of consciousness, collective consciousness, the divine, all, God, whatever you want to call it, is evolving and growing from all of the knowledge that we gain as individual souls facing the rigors of life on these planets.
Now, I'm really curious, prior to you having this tragedy in your life of losing your son here in the physical world, what was your belief system, and how much of what Jordan shared with you was something that you might have taught him while he was in his physical body, or maybe something that you had a smidgen of belief in and Jordan perhaps brought more light to it? Can you give us a sense of what was your stance before you had this tragedy in your life?
Well, I've been, for most of my life, a pretty dyed-in-the-wool agnostic, you know, and I'm scientifically oriented. I do research. I do randomized controlled trials for therapy methods. And I have been generally skeptical about spirituality. And Jordan himself was not a believer. And about a dozen years ago, I read a book by Michael Newton called Journey of Souls. And Newton is a psychologist like I am, and a behavioral therapist as well as a hypnotist. And, of course, you know, you may be familiar with that, or your listeners are. And in the book, you know, well, Newton accidentally stumbled on a way of moving people from a past life hypnotic regression into the life between lives. He again, it was an accident. And he didn't even know what was going on, and this woman he was hypnotizing had started describing the elements of the life between lives. And Newton went on to do this with 7,000 subjects who were naive. He did not tell them what to expect. He did not tell them what the afterlife looked like. And almost invariably, they described exactly the same experiences in the afterlife. Without prompting, without being led to describe it, they described the same experiences. So it was very meaningful to me, and I later learned how to do that kind of hypnosis, because I already was a hypnotist, and did it with a number of people, usually dear friends who just wanted to have the experience. And so I had already kind of gotten interested in what the life between lives might be. It was, for me, it was just an opportunity, you know, to explore that. And so when Jordan died, I didn't know what the life between lives looked like exactly, but I was determined to find out if he was there and hear from him what the experience was.
And I'm really curious about, you know, because as I'm listening to this and as people are listening, they're probably thinking like, okay, so you didn't have really a belief, Jordan didn't have a belief, but as you started to connect to him, what evidence did you get through your being that you knew it was Jordan? What was it? Was it something you heard, you saw, you felt? If you could kind of take us into that inner experience of what it was, what evidence that you knew it was him.
Well, first of all, my own subjective experience when I'm doing the channel writing is that it is largely surprise. The things that Jordan says, many of them have never occurred to me before. These are thoughts that are new to me. Not all of them, but many of them are new to me, and I am kind of flabbergasted sometimes at what he says.
And how do you know it's Jordan?
Well, he identifies as Jordan. He tells me he's Jordan. When I am listening, when I'm doing the channel writing, I experience hearing his voice. I don't hear it as I did with Botkin outside of me, but I hear it inside, and I experience his voice, his personality, and I experience the surprise about the things he's telling me. I also experience that he communicates to me in a very different style than I use when I'm communicating. So his language and his way of conveying knowledge is different from me, so I'm experiencing that as foreign. That's not right. Me. That's outside of me.
So you're actually hearing his voice. So
I hear it inside, but I hear it as his voice. Yes. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, and one of the things that I think it's helpful when you're engaging in channel writing, because of course you're going to have doubt whenever you're seeking. Whenever you're looking to trying to connect to people on the other side, doubt is an inescapable part of it, and doubt is always going to be there. Is this just something I'm making up? Is this something that I'm doing to assuage the pain that I've suffered? Of course that will be there, but what you can do is seek other confirmatory experiences. And I've had several, some that I sought directly and some that happened accidentally. A friend of mine dear friend of mine was consulting a medium, a really good medium named Austin Wells, and at some point during their discussion, said, you know, there's something very strange happening here. There's a young man that's shown up who died violently, and he has messages, and he has things he wants to say, and he's telling me all this stuff, and I don't know. It's not for you. It's for his father, and he tells me that he's writing a book with his father. Well, at that point, only six people in the world knew he was writing the book, and Austin Wells was not one of them, I can tell you. And so that was a very powerful, and I was actually at that moment in the middle of a very upsetting period of doubt. I was really struggling. In fact, I sort of almost stopped writing for a little while. And when that came along, I was, oh my God, Jordan was just letting me know, no, this is real, we're doing this. She could not have known that without him. Later on, I actually consulted Austin Wells because Jordan told me that I should go down and see her. She's in the L.A. area. And so I went down there, and she doesn't, other than what she had heard, you know, from Jordan, you know, that we were writing a book, she knew nothing about the book. I arrived there, and she says, oh, well, your book, I see it has the first four or five chapters are about your journey to try to find Jordan, and the last six chapters are all about downloading Jordan's direct information. She says, and she literally laid out exactly what the book was, and it wasn't just she knew that it was a book; she knew everything about it. And then she said, and Jordan has told me that this is what the last chapter has to be, and she lays out what the last chapter is going to be. And Jordan had told me to go down there to find out what the last chapter was. I never told her that. So these are kinds of experiences, these confirmatory experiences, are available if you want to seek them out. And one of the ways you can do that is through mediums.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Jordan taking on the last half of the book, like, was it because he outlined it before, or did you have a different inner experience that said, okay, now it's all yours? What was that click for you?
No, he outlined the whole thing at the very beginning, in that 5-minute period when he first agreed to do the book. He outlined all of the last part of the book. And so when we got to those chapters, I just simply asked questions that were based on what he had said in the outline, the basic things he said would be covered, kind of like the A-heads when you're writing a book, what the A-heads are. And I'd say, okay, well, Jordan, tell me about such and such. And I'd wait a moment, and then I would just start downloading. I mean, just this stuff would come in such intense level and speed, I could barely keep up. And in many cases, I think I didn't keep up. Sometimes pieces of it may have escaped me, but I would just write and write and write until it stopped, and then I would ask the next question that was connected to that chapter or that topic, and the download would begin again. So the process was very simple in a way, and I was largely passive. I sewed these passages from Jordan together with my own words, but in the book, all of his words are in a type that you can recognize. Well, that is exactly what Jordan said. So that was how the book was formed. I feel like all that last half of it is almost nothing to do with me. I'm simply asking questions.
So intriguing. What we're going to do right now is take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to kind of recap, if you're interested as listening to this program, better ways that you can communicate and hear from your loved ones. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what Jordan might be talking with his father about these days. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com. www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net. Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm Angelina Diana, and we've been having a very insightful and inspiring conversation with author Dr. Matthew McKay. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. And we were talking off air a little bit about the process of what your son spoke about with souls and the review and those that have healing and those that maybe don't need as much healing. I was wondering if you can continue that process on for our listeners, from those who, of course, have the life review, and then, of course, those who don't go to the life review right away, but they're in the healing aspects of things on the other side.
Yeah, souls who've had a difficult life where they've suffered some damage go into a healing place, but all of the souls who've had some of that struggle and have gone into a healing place move on into life review, and they move on from there after the life review. So all souls do this. We'll move into life review, and then from there they move into their soul group. They connect to their soul group, and the soul group, one way to think about that is it's a little community. Souls in the afterlife live in small communities. In the same way, when we live in a town, you know, the soul group could be, you know, a little family who metaphorically lives in a house, and then there are people in the neighborhood that they know very well, other souls in that neighborhood they know well. and people, you know, three blocks away they know, and then there's people across town, and then there's some people they know in other towns. So soul groups, though, are sort of like the nuclear family of the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And we live with those soul groups throughout most of our time in the afterlife. We learn with them. We love them deeply. These are deep, powerful connections. And the soul group is like a little repertory theater company, and they reincarnate together. They actually, show up in life after life after life together. But they aren't always in the same relationship. Sometimes members of your soul group might be, an influential teacher, or they might be siblings or parents or children. They might be lovers. They might even be enemies or foils. Lost loves, favorite bartenders, whatever, you know. And so people from your soul group in each life will show up in different relationships to you. So again, it's like we're showing up for a play, and we all take different parts in that play. But of course, we have to take it seriously. We have to take it seriously, and we're given amnesia before we come down to this life, so that we don't remember the afterlife, and we don't remember our past lives, and so that we'll take the play very seriously, and we'll learn from everything that happens here. So in the soul group, it's a very beautiful connection that is never lost. The relationships we have to our soul groups, and again, these are often the people that are the closest to us. They're our children. There's often parents. They're dear friends, brothers and sisters. So the people that are very close to us in our lives are very often parts of our people in our soul group or in nearby soul groups that we know well and love dearly. And when they leave, when they die, when they leave this life and transition, we haven't lost them. They're still there in the afterlife. In fact, part of our soul energy is still in the afterlife with them. We divide our soul energy from part of it remains in the afterlife in our soul group. Part of it enters a body to reincarnate. And so we are still connected to them. We don't lose them. And in fact, we can, with a little bit of effort, learn to stay connected in a very active way, in a way that nourishes us and reminds us of why we're here, and that these apparent losses through death are really nothing. They are just transitions, and the love is still there. The relationship is still there.
Mm. Now, you spoke earlier about the different methods as to how you decided to communicate with your son. Could you briefly go over those again? And also, as a secondary question, do you think there are certain personalities that might be more attracted to one technique than the other? I'm thinking of our listening audience and what they might want to gravitate towards first.
There are a fair number of ways that we can connect. I mean, certainly, you know, mediums are a well-known way, and there are some very wonderful and skilled mediums, and that's really probably I think that was the first way that we tried to connect to Jordan, was initially through a medium, and that was very reassuring. But if you want to be able to have a real dialogue, a real ongoing dialogue, there are a number of ways. One is what we just talked about with channeled writing, simply writing down meditating, focusing your attention, having an object that connects you to the dead, being in a place where you feel safe and grounded. And then when you're ready and you feel receptive, asking that question, writing it down, asking your question and waiting with love in your heart for your loved one to answer that question. Some people don't use writing, they just use prayer. Some people will pray to higher power, to God, to open the channel so that they can talk to their loved one. And after a brief moment of prayer, they ask, mentally ask their loved one's questions and receive answers. And that works for a lot of people. Just some people will put themselves in an environment, they collect mementos and objects that were something that the loved one had or were dear to the loved one, and they just spend time with those objects, and they hold them, they look at them, they look at photographs, And they wait for a sense of the loved one. And oftentimes they can connect and feel the presence of the loved one simply by being in the presence of objects, physical objects that belong to or were part of that loved one's life. One of the things that I've learned that is maybe the most important thing, I think, that I've learned is that our loved ones on the other side are just a thought away. As soon as you think about them, you've opened the channel. The channel is opened by virtue of your bringing your attention to that soul. Mm-hmm. That soul is ready to talk to you and connect to you at any time. They can do it effortlessly. It's all telepathy. It's not an imposition on them. It's not making a demand or taking their time. What it is that soul is happy to connect to us. And when you think of that soul and you bring your attention to them, the channel is open and you can literally ask questions. You can pray to them in terms of asking them for help, asking them for guidance, asking them for wisdom. So however you do it, whether it's through channel writing, through a medium, through hypnosis, and again, that's another method that I've used a lot of using past life and between life hypnotic regressions. And in those hypnotic regressions, you can meet up with the souls you love in the afterlife and actually communicate with them while you're in a hypnotic trance and have amazing conversations. So there are methods of connecting, but the simplest method is to simply meditate, find yourself in a peaceful place, focus your attention, and then write your question.
Well, Dr. Matthew McKay, thank you so much for your time this hour. It's been so insightful, and I feel very inspirational for our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
He's written a book called Seeking Jordan, How I Learned the Truth About Death and the Invisible Universe. You can find it on Amazon. You can also click on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website and find it through there. My name is Angelina Diana. I want to thank you for joining me this hour, and thank you for listening to Signs of Life. Have a great night.